This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. It's a Monday. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on today's program. Bo Pelini's press conference as the Huskers get ready for Big Ten play. And there's a lot of things that happened over the weekend that once again are perplexing to Nebraska fans. And we'll get to that momentarily. The NFL, it's always crazy. Every second, third, fourth week of the fifth week of the season, you're going, how did that happen? And there was a lot of that yesterday, a lot of comebacks yesterday as the second half. I'll tell you what, I've learned, Jimmy, that the halftime score most of the time means nothing unless you're Jacksonville. Then it does mean something because you're not going to catch up. But how many times at halftime you just will throw it out the window because that's not indicative of what's going to happen in the second half?
Yeah, boy, that's something. You know, really, you're right about the NFL. I mean, I think what you're saying, and I think it's true. Right now, Denver Broncos are probably the best team, number one, and Jacksonville is way down at the other end. But nobody else knows where to put the other teams in the mix there.
Well, I can't believe how many times I heard this morning the Giants and the Steelers, just because they're 0-4, and some of the lot Adam Schefter, I'll be anxious to see their new NFL rankings later this week. There's no way that Seattle is better than Denver. Seattle should have lost yesterday. Matt Schaub gave them the football game, and the problem is Matt Schaub played outstanding in the first half, as good as anybody's played against Seattle in who knows how long. Not just this year, probably last year, probably before that. Over 200 yards. They're up 20-3. They're rolling at home. And then you just gift wrap it.
Yeah, great. I couldn't have said it any better. That's exactly. I mean, anybody else that wants to pretend something else happened in that game, that's not true. It's exactly the way you said it happened, and that was it.
And Jimmy, what do you think is going to happen to the Dallas Cowboys if Phillip Rivers threw for, 400 yards on him yesterday? And what do you think is going to happen when Peyton Manning goes to the house next week?
Yeah. Danny Wood had some nice catches, too, from the Shattered State, North Platte. Yeah, exactly. He had a great game in with that deal. And again, another
should
one.
I play Chris Johnson or Danny Woodhead in my fantasy football team? Oh, yeah. Okay, that was a good idea.
And you know, and the Chiefs actually
have some guts. Pull the trigger,
you know,
Doug.
The Chiefs and Giants, it was 10-7. The kid from Nebraska missed a field goal that he normally would hit.
Yeah,
they could have made it 10-10. And then all of a sudden, it's a seesaw. You don't know which way it's going to go. And all of a sudden, an 89 or 91-yard punt return. And boy, did that thing snowball on the Giants in a hurry. Yeah. So you're right about that first half. And just, hey, there's just one play that can determine that. And I don't know if you saw the end of the New England game. Did you see that with the onside kicks?
Yeah,
that thing could have.
Again, Atlanta got themselves by some freak of nature back in the ball game and then couldn't finish. And there's no excuse. You could only get 3 yards in four plays. And I'm not a pro. And at least they're bringing it up today. You know, don't blame it all on some of the Matt Ryan. They went for it in the first half on fourth down and missed a wide-open Roddy White. And you look at the last play of the game last night, the classic mini underthrow. Roddy White's got him boxed out. Aqib Talib's doing a great job. But just all you had to do is lob it. And he comes back and gets the ball, and we're going to overtime most likely. By the way, after that play, Aqib Talib, and I don't know if you saw this late last night, Jimmy, but the former Kansas product, Aqib Talib. He makes the great play to save the game. He had two picks last night. And I don't know if we missed it with the television coverage, but he came over and kind of they keep showing it on SportsCenter this morning too. Leans back, he's sitting on the bench all by himself. There's no teammates congratulating him. There's nobody slapping him on the ass, giving him a high five. I wonder if Aqib has distanced himself somehow. I know he's had troubles in the past, but not at New England. I thought that was very unusual. He made a play to win the football game, and 31 other teams would have had a mass celebration, and I know they're still the Patriots, but I thought that was a little weird, but good for him. I remember getting a chance to interview him a couple of times back at Big 12 media days, and he was a great interview. But all this, Jimmy, and we'll get back to this, because Bo Pelini's press conference will be coming up just after 11:30, whenever the coach feels like sitting down and chatting, we'll bring that to you. I can't believe where we're at with baseball these days, because it is totally overshadowed. There's hardly any talk this morning about baseball. There's a little, but it's like, okay, we need to talk about this and then move on to week four in football. What? We're going into the Major League Baseball playoffs. Now, I know the Yankees aren't in, but the Dodgers are in. There are some high-profile, big market teams that are in the playoffs. There's some interesting stories with the Pirates in.
Boston Red Sox.
Got an extra game going on tonight. And it's just like, game number 136. I'm surprised how far baseball has fallen off the map, and I think it really has. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think it's really interesting because television coverage probably dictates a lot of that. And I mean, if you look at let's just compare it. I mean, your answer, yes, I'm saying yes. There's no doubt that's true. The time you play and when you play it and what – I mean, if you try to take somebody else on and with their moment – and when their season's going on, you're probably going to end up losing to TV coverage. And I think, one reason the Masters golf tournament in April, there's really not a lot going on that weekend. You know what I mean? The Masters golf kind of gets at the Kentucky Derby the first Saturday in May. But you start taking on when other things are going on and their excitement, is going on during that time. And it's really hard to get that. And you're right about baseball. It's too bad because all summer long you're excited and then you have the biggest moments and the biggest days and people really weren't talking about it that much. There were three very important baseball games played yesterday and not that many people are watching it. You and I did. We care about it.
And we'll be more concerned about the crappy Thursday night NFL game coming up than the Major League Baseball playoffs.
Yeah, that is interesting. I know that the TV coverage, there was a college football bowl game and it was between Arkansas State. I'm just throwing this out in Miami of Ohio one time. There was a better coverage of that game than there was an NCAA basketball game. And I think it was Michigan was playing UCLA in basketball. And more people were watching that. And you know why that is, Doug. You know exactly why that is. It's the $11 that people like to bet on that stuff.
You saying that's easier?
I'm saying that's why they're watching the game.
let's take a look. We've got your emails. We've got your phone calls, Facebooks, tweets. I'd love to hear from you on today's show. Let's give you the particulars because you never know when there's a new listener out there or somebody that's moved into the area. You can always call the Bruce Furniture Fan Line, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can email us, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. You can always tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550, and you can Facebook us at ESPN Superstation. John says it shows baseball is far too long of a season. Cut it in half and more people will pay attention. The games would have far more meaning. John, no sport has ever cut their season, have they? It's just an unrealistic thought. I mean, I get your point. I get your point that it would be something to have, but there's interest in the NBA playoffs. There's a little bit of interest in the NHL playoffs, more so. I really think there's, and it's because they're not going up against football, Jimmy. They're not going up against football in the summer. Baseball's going up against football, and they are losing, and they're losing big.
Yeah, and you look at the attendance. That's the truth of the matter is, look at attendance and how many people are attending things and the interest level. And some things just aren't going to be able to make it. You know what I mean? That's just the way it is. They're not going to be able to get that high-dollar market thing. Baseball plays 162 games. It has for numerous years. There's pitchers can't throw every day. The quarterbacks play once a week. Their bodies aren't, can you imagine trying to come back and play every day NFL football game? Let's play 162 of those and see how that goes.
Well, let's look, before we go into our first break here, at how we did in our preseason predictions. I remember saying there. I can't believe that that Boston and the Yankees, neither one would make the playoffs. Remember, yes. All the preseason prognosticators had them fourth and fifth in the AL East. Well, the Yankees fell off a little bit, but Baltimore and Toronto, right back where they always have been, at the bottom of the AL Central. Boston wins it. Tampa Bay going to play for that official playoff berth today. And if they get it, then that means I got one more right in my picks. And then Boston won it. Let's see. Who did Jimmy have here?
I had the Seattle Mariners as my long shot, I think. And
you had the Tigers over the Nationals in the World Series.
The Nationals aren't playing, are they?
No. But we didn't really circle who you had here to win each division.
Let me look at that.
Let's see. You tell me what you had.
Oh, my God.
I had Baltimore and Tampa Bay, Detroit, the Angels, and Texas. So Detroit was right, and then the winner of the Tampa Bay-Texas was right. So I got two, because the Angels didn't make it, and Baltimore didn't make it, and then either Tampa Bay or Texas won't make it. So I got two in the American League.
My final four, there's Tampa Bay, Detroit, Seattle, and the Blue Jays. So I'm pretty much sure that I got two in and two so far back that, you know, it's not even worth talking about unless I just want to go home and hurt myself.
Yeah, we weren't on Oakland, were we? The National League, I had Atlanta and Washington, Cincinnati, St. Louis, and the Dodgers. I think I did pretty well. Atlanta in, Cincinnati in, St. Louis in, the Dodgers in. The only one I didn't have right was Washington, so I'll be a little bit better there. And it was Pittsburgh got in. Great. Hard to pick two wild cards out of the same division.
Yeah, I got the Reds and the Dodgers were the only two I got correct. I had the Giants in, and I had the Nationals, and the Nationals were probably a disappointment this year, wouldn't you say? I mean, they thought they might have a decent so.
Yeah, well, and they battled. They still were 10 games above 500, but 10 games back, finished second to Atlanta, who won 96 games, second best in the National League. But as we said, there's only one thing that matters, Jimmy, and that's the finals. That's the World Series. That's the Super Bowl. That's the NHL. That's the Stanley Cup.
And you still got two alive. You have a chance to be in there, correct?
I have the Dodgers over Detroit in the World Series.
And it's possible you could get that right again.
And I don't know the odds of ever having on the opening day of the NFL season and then exactly predicting how the Super Bowl would come out and then following that up with exactly how the World Series would come out, I'm afraid I would probably be lifted away. I don't know. I would probably be lifted away out of this show.
And I think, I mean, I'm going to just say together, you know, the NBA, we nailed that completely.
Oh.
That wasn't even close.
And the way you're dominating pigskin picks, we haven't even got to that yet. We win the pigskin pick over Eric from Loop City by the tiebreaker. And by we, I mean you. I went 5-5, and that was even with picking Oklahoma. You picked Notre Dame and went 6-4. And our caller went 6-4. But you beat him out on the tiebreaker of the Hastings College Dakota Wesleyan game. So another $10 goes into the Cunningham's cash for next week. Eric still gets in for the Iowa Nebraska tickets, the Big Dally Deli large combo coming his way. But that pales in comparison to you hitting again all three of your college underdog selections. 3-0, which I believe brings you to 11-1 over the last 4 weeks. You get a backdoor cover by Central Florida, which, as we said, it doesn't matter how it happens. It happens. Central Florida covers. South Alabama only loses by 7 to Tennessee. They win. And then the coup de grace, you take West Virginia, and they win outright over nationally ranked Oklahoma State. And you're just humble through the whole process.
Well, I was lucky in the Central Florida game. Central Florida did get up 10-0 and looked like they might roll, and then, boy, did it just snowball on them. But very lucky to cover that game. But that's why you take the points. That's why you take them. That's why we've been talking the whole time. That's why you take points. How many times have you been ahead by three, and your team has the ball, and they go down to the two-yard line, and they got to win by five, and they take a knee three times? And you're sitting there, and there's not a thing you can do about it. But that's why you always take the points. That's why you want them.
Most local talk shows, sports talk shows, whether they're in Nebraska or bordering states, or they go to Vegas or they go to nationally syndicated, we don't have to do that here, folks. We've got knowledge right here in our studio every Friday with Jimmy Langan. And now the problem is, I don't want you to overthink this. Don't overthink it. Keep doing what you're doing. We keep giving winners. Cowherd, he can't kick his way out of a wet paper bag so far this year. Van Pelt and Rosillo in the afternoon, they're going to start picking hockey games pretty soon because they can't hit football. We have Jim Langan here on the Doug and Daddy
Show. Hey, Doug,
show.
You know, it's human nature, though, Doug, is I mean, I think it's the last three parlays we've hit, so it's like 9-0. The odds are 512 to 1. But, you know, most people wouldn't know that, but a lot of people do. But what's interesting is as soon as I miss one, you know, that's when all of my buddies are going, hey, think you're really good at that, don't you?
Hey, boys, you've been riding the train.
Yeah.
If you've been riding the train, you can go 3 weeks for free.
Yeah.
So if you would happen to go 0-9 the next 3 weeks, that makes you 9-9. You lose the juice.
Yeah,
that's the worst thing that could happen. If you've been riding the Jimmy train, you can't lose, at least for three more weeks.
Yeah, isn't that something? Doug, do you have anybody that you thought this week that you looked at and thought, hey, they were really lucky, or you looked at them and you thought, boy, that team's really, really good? Because we talked about Oregon and how they're just dominating everybody.
I hardly watched any college football on Saturday. I watched it at night. Wisconsin, again, I just don't think Ohio State is – as good as everybody else thinks.
They play Northwestern, don't they, this week?
Yeah, and Ohio State's good enough to go 12-0. They're good enough. They're probably a little bit better. I just think somebody's going to clip them. And Wisconsin had that chance and didn't do it because I don't know, I still kind of like Wisconsin, even though they scored 70 in the championship game last year. I like their new coach. I like their guys that we've got to get to meet and work with. But now they're screwed in Ohio. I mean, there's just no way. Ohio State has to lose at least two conference games, and Wisconsin has to run the table to make it back to the championship game. That's just the way it is. So we'll see how it is. I want to talk a little Husker football. I was more the stuff that went on in the NFL yesterday. Houston giving it away. I mean, it seems like Houston giving it away, Dallas giving it away, Atlanta falling flat on their face when it looked like they could win the ball game. I'm getting more agitated at Seattle. This is one of those things where they're a good team, and I guess I don't want them to be. You know, they should have lost at least twice this year, and they're 4-0, and everybody thinks they're the greatest thing, and I don't. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more. We're going to talk Husker football, some of the games that went on over the weekend that have Husker folks with their eyes open and their nails chewed to the core. We'll be back after this.
Uh-oh. Summer's over. Kids are back in school. With my schedule, how am I going to stay in shape?
Complete Nutrition will help you do it all this fall. Picture yourself trim and fit.
Yeah.
With more energy and motivation.
Well, that's better.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
How'd you do it? You took charge with a little help from your partners at Complete Nutrition.
Can they help me lose weight?
Complete Nutrition will customize a weight loss plan for you that'll work.
This won't be easy.
Talk to our experts about your goals. We have the advice and products that will help you meet them.
Do you know how busy I am?
Yes. We'll design a plan to fit in with your busy life.
Okay. I just need the willpower.
Maybe you just need to visit Complete Nutrition for a plan that makes finding the willpower a little bit easier. You can do it all this fall.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
You know, my schedule doesn't look so scary anymore.
Complete Nutrition!
Hey, Golick, we're on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was enjoying one of these new Marie Callender's sausage, egg, and cheese breakfast sandwiches.
Where'd you get that?
And this cheddar biscuit.
So there was just one?
So warm and flaky.
You ate mine, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Luckily, Marie is giving away 1 million sandwiches for free. Just look for a coupon and select Marie Callender's dinners.
No purchase necessary. Offer ends January 7th, 2014. See official rules to win at MarieCallendersMeals.com/1 million. Sponsored by Conagra Foods.
You're in your car. Lately, it's got as much energy as a sloth that got hit by a tranquilizer dart. Twice. What this car needs is an injection of adrenaline. So you visit AutoZone and get some fuel system cleaner to put some pep back in its step. So long, sloth. Hello, cheetah.
Right now at AutoZone, get two 12-ounce bottles of Chevron Techron fuel system cleaner for just $8. Restore your car's performance for less. Get in the zone. AutoZone. See store for restrictions at
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Monday, it's a battle of unbeatens as Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints take on the Miami Dolphins. Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of Westwood One. Join Hall of Fame quarterback Dan Fouts and me live from the Subway Fresh broadcast booth in the Superdome for all the action. Will Brees and the high-powered Saints continue their winning ways against the upstart Dolphins? Tune in to find out. If it's the NFL, it's right here
on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For today, it'll be partly sunny, high of 85. Winds will be from the southwest between 5 and 15. Tonight, it'll be mostly clear, low of 54. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny with a high near 82. Tomorrow night, it'll be mostly clear with a low of 55. Currently, it's 66.
Yep, 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 yep. Boom, boom, boom. Gotta get, get. 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 Boom, boom, boom. That boom, boom, boom. That boom.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Bo Pelini's press conference is right around the corner. We'll bring that to you live. It's also been announced. God. Sometimes I need to read these things before I actually read them or look at these things before I read them. Another 11 o'clock kickoff, folks. Purdue, Nebraska, 11 a.m., November, October the 12th. So next week's game, 11 a.m. on the Big Ten Network. You know what that means? It's a crap game. So it's going to be on the Big Ten Network, and it's at 11 a.m. Nebraska at Purdue, 11 a.m., October the 12th. All right, there you go, folks. You got that one. There you go. All right. Okay. our Midtown Mart cooler question of the day, Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coolest beer and the hottest topics. Was the Royals season a success? 95% of our voters said yes, it was a success. Tomorrow, it's the National League wild card game, Pittsburgh-Cincinnati. Who's hosting this, Merritt?
No idea.
Pittsburgh-Cincinnati, who you got?
I need Cincinnati to win that game. It'd be really nice for me. That was the only team I played in the National League.
It's at Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh. And yeah, they won the Cincinnati needed to win two out of three this week to host it. And Pittsburgh actually swept the whole thing. So Cincinnati gets to go over there and say, hey, how are you doing? So it doesn't look good for Cincinnati. But, you know, the interesting one to me is the Cleveland Indians.
Well, did you give me a pick?
What's that?
Did you give me a pick? Pittsburgh or Cincinnati? Who you got?
Okay, who you have?
No.
I'm taking Cincinnati because I need them. I'm just taking them Cincinnati.
You know, I've got a gut feeling that Cincinnati's going to win as well. So we'll go with Cincinnati to win Tuesday's National League wild card game. I want Pittsburgh, which sounds weird just because they're the underdog.
Sure.
I mean,
been there forever.
I have no allegiance to Cincinnati anymore. I rooted for them growing up with Joe Morgan and the Big Red Machine, but now Royals, Braves, love to see them do well. So I'll take Cincinnati to win this one, rooting for Pittsburgh. You can vote on our poll question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Go ahead.
What was I saying?
You were talking Cleveland perplexes.
Oh, yeah, that was the team, Cleveland, you know, who gets in and they get to just sit back and make these other two teams play. They want this thing to go about 15 innings. You know, let's just use all the bullpen and do what you can and everybody go in there and you use your closers and then turn around and get in a plane and drive to Cleveland. How many flights are there from, like, Arlington to Cleveland? There can't be that many, can there?
You just get that play with the propellers on the side.
There you go.
Major League. Here's another thing. Okay, before we get to the press conference, I don't want to get away from Nebraska football. Delusional Husker fan emailed us. I've been texted this, and I've been made aware of this. North Dakota State played South Dakota State this weekend. North Dakota State won 20-0. Nebraska beat them 59-20 a week ago. This game was at South Dakota State. Zach Zenner, who ran all over Nebraska in the first quarter for more than 100 yards and ran for over 200 yards in the game and two scores, I believe the official stat line was 8 carries, 4 yards against North Dakota State. North Dakota State's coach, Craig Bohl, which of course could be a or excuse me, South Dakota State's coaching staff came out and said as much of that North Dakota State's line was more physical than Nebraska's. That is extremely not only embarrassing but concerning. Texas State got rolled up by Wyoming this weekend. Now, that was horrific weather from what we understand, but still, they both play in it. It takes away from Brett Smith throwing the ball around, but Texas State beats Wyoming. Texas State also beats Southern Miss earlier this year and by 7, and Nebraska had no problem with Southern Miss. Nebraska's only favored by 10 over Illinois, who has a great mobile quarterback in Nate Shieldhouse, and maybe not a whole lot else. So, considering what happened over the weekend, Jimmy, does that make you more concerned about this Nebraska football team heading into conference play?
Well, I think the I was surprised that South Dakota State did not score. That, when I looked at that, I thought, whoa, that really surprised me. Not that North Dakota State won. You know, they beat Kansas State. They can play. That really surprised me, though, that South Dakota State did not score when they scored so easily against Nebraska that first quarter. The Wyoming thing I kind of threw out the window, to be honest with you, and just because I think Wyoming's extremely overrated. Nebraska people watch that game, and we have a little tunnel vision. And the reason I say I'm in a contest with 80 people, and they pick games, and they always are taking Wyoming. No matter who they're just, hey, Wyoming's got to be good. They don't even look at the other side. They're so tunnel that Wyoming, I'm taking Wyoming. And this week, everybody was on Wyoming.
I'm not even in that contest. Yeah,
no, you're not.
That's what I think.
No, but I mean, I guess that's the point I'm trying to make is we have a lot of, you know, like UCLA's got to be great. Why does UCLA have to be great? Because we watch them play us, you know. And so the Wyoming won 4 games last year. And they're going to have a nice team. They're probably going to win 7 or 8 games this year. But going on the road at Texas State, that was going to be a tough game for them to win. And they got beat 42-21, and they were an 11-point favorite. That should never have happened where they were the 11-point favorite.
A lot of people thought Illinois was the worst team in the conference. And they proved that last year going 0-8 and thought that they might be there again this year. I had them a little bit higher. Because I wasn't sold on Purdue because I didn't think they had a lot of guys coming back, and there was a couple other schools, Iowa, not sold on them, although kudos to Iowa. At least they're playing a little bit better or winning. I ask you today, you'll make your prediction Friday. The spread is Illinois, 10-point underdog. If I gave you $100 today, free bet, who you taking?
Right now I take Nebraska, but It's not going to be one of my 3 selections. You know, I'll tell you that right now. I would take Nebraska, but just because Illinois played so well last week. I mean, a lot of that's based on just how well Illinois did and how they played against Miami of Ohio, and things went really well for them against Miami of Ohio. That's what it's based on. It's based on how well Illinois played. You know what I mean? That's escalated, that point spread. Because the point spread would have been about 14 points.
Yeah.
If that would have never happened, if Illinois would have just struggled a little bit and maybe not played so well, that would have been about a 14-point, you know, swing there. But I would take Nebraska. But I'll tell you what, there was a time last year where all these teams, Michigan, Nebraska, Michigan State, that group, if you had a 7 or 8-point favorite, hey, don't get too excited because every game was close. They're all pretty even. Penn State, you know, that whole ball of wax. Give me 10, 12 points on anybody and you take that. But I think Nebraska will probably have some success against Illinois at home.
This comes from the Dent Popper inbox. Brent says, hey, Double D, I am perplexed at the athletic director at USC. I am not a Kiffin fan. I felt he is arrogant and cocky and the way he left Tennessee totally wrong. But who in the world would fire someone at an airport? Handle the issue professionally. Nobody deserves that type of crap. I have no clue what went on behind the scenes, but it sure smells like a certain Peterson we have heard of. USC is going backwards. Hey, Trojans, hire a guy named Callahan. I'm sure he'll do better. Their AD needs to be replaced. Completely unprofessional. Just my 2 cents. Thanks, Brent. And Lane Kiffin being dismissed. I don't know, Jimmy. You can go straight down the hill and never win another game this year, and that's terrible. But I don't know where getting the interim coach in really changes anything. And Paul Pasquale is out at Connecticut today, and they almost upset Michigan last week. But they don't look good this week, and they're 0-4, so he's out. And I think that sets a precedence. If a big guy like Lane Kiffin can go, then some of these other schools say, hey, we can fire our coach early, midseason.
Yeah, I think that's the world we live in right now. You know, Pat Hayden played quarterback for USC. And, you know, he's the AD, and he didn't hire this guy. You know what I mean? I don't think Pat Hayden hired. And what was interesting is that somebody said, and when I say somebody said, I read it in, you know, like somebody said downtown. No, but he, during the in the third quarter, he made the decision that he was going to fire him. When they got, they were, USC was ahead 21-20, I believe, and Arizona State scored 35 unanswered points, and in the
never heard of that before.
And they ended up. He said in the middle of the third quarter, I think I know which play it was. Where you know the little run right up the middle, and no one was there. But yeah, they said that you know from midnight to five, you know, he was just waiting for him, and the end of the story. So brutal.
Well, you can email us as you want. We're waiting for Bo Pelini at his press conference. Also, want to welcome all the cross country runners into Kearney today. It's maybe even bigger than the state meet. It's the UNK High School Cross Country Invitational. A lot of teams like to come in and run the course, but they're from all over. It's amazing that they do drive in from the Panhandle. They do drive in from the eastern part of the state, north, south, everywhere. And it starts at 1 o'clock today at the Kearney Country Club, and then they go every half hour. The girls will run at 1, and then the boys at the bottom of the hour, and then it's going to go Class B at 1, D at 2, C at 3, and A at 4. The A boys will be the final race at 4:30. So if you want to see some cross country, go out to the Kearney Country Club today. We're awaiting Bo Pelini. We'll take a break. Be back with the press conference next.
Paying too much for your office? A Regis office can save you up to 60% with no long-term leases. And if you act now, you'll get 2 months free. You'll get a beautifully furnished office at an impressive location, a receptionist to answer calls and greet clients, plus access to meeting rooms when you need them. See how Regis can save you up to 60% and get 2 months free. Visit regus.com/sports or call 1-800-OFFICES. 1-800-OFFICES.
Shell V-Power Premium Gasoline is Ferrari's choice for improved performance. It removes an average of 60% of performance-robbing gunk on intake valves left by low-quality premium gasolines. And it starts with your very first tank. So you're not just filling up with over 60 years of Shell and Ferrari technology and innovation. You're also filling up with choose Shell V-Power and let the excitement.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out because I heard a pop in my ankle, and so I came here. It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it because you're back to 100% and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, it'll be partly sunny, high of 85. Winds will be from the southwest between 5 and 15. Tonight, it'll be mostly clear, low of 54. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny with a high near 82. Tomorrow night, it'll be mostly clear with a low of 55. Currently, it's 66.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Bo Pelini up to the microphone. We're ready to go to Lincoln here momentarily and bring you Bo Pelini's press conference as he is about ready to sit down. Here we go to Lincoln.
Coming off, I thought we had a good, productive bye week. I thought it was we did some good on good last week. We did a little bit of good on good, a little bit of preparation for Illinois. Mixed in a little bit of recruiting in there towards the end of the week. And then obviously came back yesterday and kind of started our game week again. And I thought it was productive. I thought we got a lot of work done. Like I said, I think every time we go out there, it's important for this football team right now and to continue to our process and to progress as a football team. I thought we did that last week. Also used it to heal up. Obviously, after 4 weeks, you get a little. We had some bumps and bruises going in. I think we're, fairly healthy going into this week and getting ready to start Big Ten play. So,
what's the latest on Taylor and what's kind of your outlook this weekend?
Well, it's still to be determined a little bit. Like I said, I think he's getting closer to be 100%. As of yesterday, he wasn't quite 100%. I think he's feeling better, and we'll just see how the week progresses.
On Tuesday or Wednesday, does that make it harder for him to play on Saturday because he won't be in with the install and the things you guys are going to do?
Absolutely.
Did he do anything yesterday?
Yeah, he did some things. He didn't practice, but he's progressing and he's getting closer.
Did he practice at all last week?
No. He did some individual and some things like that, some throwing and, we said going in we wanted to get him healed up.
If he can't play, are you looking at it as a two-quarterback system similar to what he did at South Dakota State or when you?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, to see how the week of practice goes. Feel confident about both those quarterbacks.
How much more confident do you feel about playing Tommy and Ronnie now that they've got some game experience in the belt?
I felt confident going into the last one, and I feel no different now. I feel even better than I did before, and that was pretty good. I have a lot of confidence in those guys, and I think they're both good players, and I know we'll play well around them too. So I feel, whatever gives us the best chance to win a football game, and that means having somebody that is physically and mentally ready to roll at that position.
You say he did some things yesterday regarding Taylor. I mean, just individual stuff on the side.
Yeah, just throwing. Some conditioning things, some throwing on the side, and he's feeling a lot better.
Quincy mentioned you guys had a team meeting after South Dakota State. We talked about entering Big Ten. What's your message to the guys with conference play starts?
Stay with the process. Stay with where we are. And like I said, every time we go out there, it's important for this group. And that's always the case, but we have a lot of progress still to be made in all areas, in all phases of the game. And I still like the potential of this football team, but it's potential right now. We still got a lot of things to clean up, a lot of areas where we need to grow, and that's why it's exciting with this group every time we walk on the practice field. To challenge ourselves, to have the right discipline, the right focus, the right mental outlook every single time we walk out there to get better.
Well, with what you've seen on the rest of the Big Ten, do you have any sense where your team fits into the race?
I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about the rest of the Big Ten. I'm worried about us and just getting ourselves, moving forward and getting better each and every day. And I think we can, I feel good about our football team. I do. I feel, I don't watch a lot of football when I'm at home, but over the week, I think that you look across the country, I think it's pretty close. There's a lot of parity out there, and I think we can compete with anybody. I think we can beat any football team that we line up against, but I also understand that there are a lot of football teams out there that can beat us if we don't take care of us. And that means we just got to keep working to get better. And our guys, I think our guys are hungry. I think they understand the need to grow and to get better. And as long as we approach every single day with the right attitude, that gives you the best chance to play well.
What are the biggest areas of improvement you want to see from your defense from game four?
Execution. And I know you guys get sick of hearing that word. But that's what it comes down to. It comes down to us fixing us because, you know, at times we've been our own worst enemy, our alignments, our communication, our execution, you know, our at times our fundamentals and technique have gone out the window. Being able to carry the things, you know, defensively, and I believe this is the case in football in general, but no matter whether it's offense, defense, special teams, being able to take the things you do in practice and transfer them over to a game and understanding the concepts that you're doing, understanding the big picture, being able to apply your roles and having an understanding so you can play fast and play confidently. And that's the challenge, you know, that's, and it's always a challenge, but I thought we got a lot done last week as far as helping our guys to grow, but you know, and to continue the process of where we are. And you know, I just approach it as a coach. You look at where you are, where you want to go. And you know, not looking at it with rose-colored glasses or looking at it in a negative way, positive way anyway. Just it's black and white. This is where we are. This is where we need to get to. And taking that approach to try and fix the things that need fixed, to continue to progress fundamentally and technique wise and keep working every day, and that's all you can do, and obviously along the way, you know, continue to develop a better understanding of your opponents that are coming up.
Does anyone have an edge in that Mike linebacker battle going into this week?
You know what, I feel good about both guys. I think Santos had a really good week. I think he's had a good couple weeks of practice, and I would say he's probably the leader there right now, but I think you'll probably see both guys. I think that, you know, Bando is getting better, continues to, you know, maybe is hitting a little bit of that freshman wall. You know, him and Gary to a certain extent of you know, everything coming at him really fast and being having to apply things, you know. When you get a different opponent, you know, opponent after opponent, and different things and different challenges, but they're working hard at it every single day. And we have some depth, and you know, every single day for all those guys is important.
Did you kind of expect with Banderas and Gary, they might have a week like that South Dakota State where they kind of hit a stop sign or they struggle a little bit?
Yeah, and you know, for a lot of different reasons, you know, I mean, it's growth, it's experience. There's a lot of things involved. There's a lot of things coming at them and very fast. You know, you don't, it's not done in a day. You don't build it in a day. It's a process, and we just continue it and keep working. Every single guy, there's not a guy on our football team that has it all figured out. There's not a guy that has reached his potential. And every single day, you know, the approach has to be to get better.
Zach Zinner for South Dakota State goes off for 200 yards on you guys, and then he's held to like 4 yards on 8 carries against North Dakota State. Does that give clarity to your guys' defensive struggles, or does that say something about North Dakota State?
I don't know. I don't worry about that.
What were some of the positives you did take away from games 1-4?
I think that at times we've been very good. At times we've been, you know, I just look at the whole of it, where we are, where we started, where we are, what we have to do to grow. And I have a pretty good handle on where we are. You know, I look at it, it's a long haul. It's what's going to happen over the course of the year and how you're going to grow. You know, there were times like you look at defensively, just give you a, for instance, we could have called things and simplified things and just lined up and a call here, a call there, very, very, very simple and just, hey, get through the game. And, against some of the opponents, I thought that we could have, maybe played a little cleaner against. But, you know, I got to look at what we're going to have to do later in the year too. And what we're going to have to do is we get into Big Ten play. And so, you know, at times we challenged our guys, and at times, to help that growth process along, to help develop a better understanding rather than just line up in one thing, because we're not going to be able to do that later on in the year. And so, you know, I don't worry about some of the things that I look at it maybe a little bit differently than a lot of people from the outside would. You know, it's about progressing our guys. It's about the process. It's about developing them, you know, holistically as the year goes on. And part of it is you got to challenge your guys. You have to challenge them. You have to put them in different situations, different calls, things where they have to think and have to be able to live with mistakes at times. And we've made a bunch of those, but hopefully we're learning and we're continuing that curve, that growth curve, as the season progresses.
How do you think your offensive line performed not only against South Dakota State for four games? How important is it for them to reach their full potential the next eight?
I think it's real important. I think there's a lot more out there for our offensive line. I think our finish, our ability to finish at times, our technique, you know, the details of what are going to allow you to play to a level we haven't reached yet. And there is more out there for that group. And, you know, it's an experienced group. It's a talented group. And I do believe there's more out there for that group. And, you know, you just look at I look back at the UCLA game and some of the find, you know, to the naked eye, not that big a deal. But, you know, putting a hat on the wrong side, you know, little things that hurt you in the running game that it's once again about taking the fine details of what you're being asked to do and being able to apply it during a game. And at times that those things have hurt us, the fine details, the finishing, that's what makes a difference as the year goes on and the competition gets, you know, raises.
If you have only two sacks, do you think the pass pro is good?
Yeah, I thought it was better going into the year. I think it has been better. But, you know, we'll see as the year goes on. You know, that's got to continue. And I do believe, you know, your pass pro is always going to be a little bit better when you're being efficient on early downs. And I thought, like, at times our inefficiency at times or maybe our lack of detail on early downs – has hurt our drives and, hurt our efficiency. And, you know, obviously you're a lot better, when you're being efficient, you're making yards and you're putting the defense on guard, because of your efficiency on early downs. We got to continue that and being better in that area.
If for some reason Taylor can't play on Saturday, would you be apt to have Tommy and Rod split the reps again?
It depends on how the week of practice goes, Erica. It just depends. And, like last time, it was kind of what we saw in practice. That led us to Tommy being the guy to start the game. And that's probably where we would lean right now going into it if Taylor didn't play. But a lot of it depends on the next 3 days of practice, too.
How much, if at all, is Taylor voicing his desire to want to play as it gets into his second game where he's still hurt?
Well, I would assume Taylor wants to play. I mean, but at the same time, you know, I deal with the doctors and the trainers and you know, Taylor knows. I mean, I've talked to him. It's, you know, we're not putting him out there until I know we can get, he's going to feel 100%. He can execute our offense at 100%.
For Taylor to be effective, how important is it that he can run like he used to run?
That's what I'm talking about. I know you can throw when your foot's bothering you, but you've got to be able to put your foot in the ground and go. And that's a big part of our offense. Until he shows he's ready and willing and able to do that, then that's when you'll see him.
Sometimes you hear that idea that the veterans, the other veterans, whether it's on the offensive line, receiver,
to kind of sharpen their focus a little bit, because I know that experience guy quarterback. Have you seen that over the past couple of weeks with the veterans?
I think our guys are a prideful group. I don't think that they liked the way they played, you know, especially in the UCLA game in that second half, and really even in the first half when things were, you know, going well for us score-wise. We didn't play up to our potential. I think it bothered our guys, and I think that we've seen a extra, you know, extra focus, extra level of intensity, extra effort, hopefully in practice. And our guys have a lot of confidence in those other quarterbacks, so there's a lot of confidence there, and I think everybody just has the attitude to go out there and do their job.
You're listening to Bo Pelini's weekly press conference here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Back to Lincoln.
Well, they're balanced. I think they have they can run it, they can throw it. They mix up their personnels a little bit. I think it's a well-coached offense. They do what they do, and they do it well. I think the quarterback has a good handle on what Coach Kubit's trying to do offensively, and I think they have a good level of execution.
You talked about Shiel Austin, maybe how he's improved. He's not running it as much this year as he was in the past. What have you seen from him?
I think he's a good player. I think he plays within their offense. I think he understands where to go with the football in the throwing game, and obviously, he's capable of hurting you with his feet. And he's a good football player. He can do a lot of different things well.
Pull up that Western Michigan tape from a couple of years ago. Is the offense similar? What everyone's doing similar?
Well, there's some concepts that are very similar. I mean, different. They're a different offense, obviously, different personnel. And you see some concepts that are the same.
What do you remember, if anything, about Nathan from back in the year that you guys recruited Taylor? He was also somebody who was nearby and on your radar at that time.
I mean, we thought he was a really good player. I mean, when we recruited him, we thought he was a good football player that could do a lot of things that would fit our, you know, kind of the style of offense that we were going to start moving towards. And I think that's the way it's played out. He's a good player.
We have another quarterback, Bailey, who's used as their zone read quarterback, so to speak. Given the struggles that you guys have had against that play over the years, do you think it's reasonable to think they're going to try to use him against you guys at some point in that game?
If he does, we'll be ready for him. I mean, he's a good player. He's physical. He's a good runner. I don't think we're, you know, I mean, everybody, you know, that's, you just look across the board, I think we've done a pretty good job of defending it, you know, the zone read. But let's face it, everybody's going to struggle with it a little bit. That's why people do it. It's part of the deal.
Over those first four games defensively, did you anticipate much of what has happened? I mean,
Absolutely. I mean, I think I said it going in. I like the potential of our group defensively, and that hasn't changed. I mean, but, you know, you don't build it in a day. You don't get guys experience. You don't put them through the things they've been through the first 4 weeks. It just doesn't happen. You can't simulate all those things, all the things you have to go through as far as understanding your defense, how things change according to a game plan, the adjustments that need to be made, the communication. There's a lot to it. And, you know, I've been around this game long enough to know that, do I want perfection week one? Absolutely. I want a high level of execution, but I also am a realist and understand that I knew what we were going to be facing going in, and what we're going to continue to face here as the season goes on. But I expect us to get better. I expect the things that that have hurt us to improve upon. And I see our guys, I see our understanding getting better. I see the community. I see some things that at times, like I said, at times when we've been on point and we've had a high level of execution, we've been pretty good. You know, probably the most disappointing thing to me was from the South Dakota State game. Number one, some of the communication that happened. I thought we took a couple steps back at times, but more importantly was not the what we were doing, it was the how we did it. We went away from you know, we slipped fundamentally at times. We slipped technique-wise, and at times didn't play with the level of effort that you need to play with. And it wasn't because I don't think our guys wanted to play hard or anything else. I think they're out there thinking too much didn't have their focus and didn't carry over the things that we stressed in practice over to Saturday. And I think our guys learned a lot from that. And every time they're out there, they're learning. Every single day is important for this group.
You guys not carrying things over, what's the stumbling block for them? Is that just kind of you, the product of that? Because you're not, they're not
sometimes thinking too much, trying to, you know, not, but, you know, being, you know, at times, I mean, we talk to them a lot about our eyes at times. And you look across football, you look on tape, you look on TV, and you see the amount of times that guys' eyes not having their discipline to put their eyes in the right place get them in trouble. I mean, it is, and that's always been the case defensively, and it's the case today. And if you don't have your eyes on your right keys, and you don't have the discipline, the focus to play your technique and see what you're being taught to see, you're going to have problems. And you can just see it over and over and over. And because it's hard to play technique and it's hard to have fundamentals if you don't have the discipline to read your keys and see what you need to see. And I've said it before, it's not something magical. It's, you know, it's sometimes your want to make a play. Your want to see where the ball is takes away from your ability to execute. And it happens time and time again. You watch it on Sunday, and you watch some of the highlights. A lot of things that happen, a lot of the big plays happen because you see guys being undisciplined where their eyes are. And, you know, it's not exclusive to our level or our football team. It's the way it is. And like I said, the more you're spread out, the more – offense you see, the more important that becomes. And you know, that's why I say, I know you guys get frustrated by hearing the word execution and that type of thing, but that's really what it comes down to. It comes down to being able to play after play after play, to do your job, to see what you need to see, put your eyes on your keys, and believe what you're seeing. That's what it comes down to. That's what playing, you know, because that's going to allow you to play faster.
I'm sure you say it to them every day. What ways do you try to keep hammering at home? Is there anything different you can do?
Continue to show them. You show them. I went and we had some coaches out on the road at the end of last week, and I met with the DBs and the linebackers and took them through the practice from the day before when the coaches were gone. And Coach JP had the front. And it's amazing that, you know, you come back to practice yesterday. So I guess that would have been on I can't think. It was like we were looking at Wednesday's practice, and then we came back and cleaned some things up Friday. And came back Sunday, and some of the exact same plays, exact same situations, things that we covered in the film session prior, the exact same things, maybe a different guy, but it happened to him on Sunday. The exact same things we talked about, and came back to eye discipline, came back to reading your keys, it came back to their focus, and you know, it's why you just got to keep putting them through it. And that's just where you are. That's why every single day, every single rep is important.
You talked about your last 2 months, and there was a lot of expectation at his height. You talked to him before he got here. He's played a lot in all four games. Has he sort of not necessarily met fans' expectation, but he met your expectation? And can you compare his transition maybe to Levante in 2010? Because he kind of got thrown into it too.
I think where Levante was, and I don't know how, you know, Levante is a special player and did some special things while he was here. I think in his development of where Levante was after four games and where Randy was after four games, he's probably ahead of where Levante was at that time. You know, Levante, it didn't happen for him right away. It took him a little bit of time. And obviously they play some different positions, but I feel really good about Randy Gregory. I think he's going to be outstanding. And there's a ton more out there for this kid, but he's a talented guy who can do some pretty special things. I like him.
Sometimes there's a rep on junior college as well. I mean, you must have went to junior college if you weren't active. He's really bright.
Very bright kid. Very bright. Understands football. He's an instinctive guy. And he's just got some natural football instincts to him. You know, it was interesting because, you know, you see it kind of across the country that, you know, when I was out on the road recruiting, I was talking to some of the high school guys about it. It's interesting the way, because high school football is so much different now. And, you know, it's kind of either really spread out or, you know, the interesting game I saw was one team was in empty the whole game and pretty much the whole game, and the other team was kind of running the veer scheme the whole game. And you know, there's a lot of spread out there. So you wonder why kind of it's easier to have freshmen come in and play offensively and, you know, because everyone's kind of doing the spread. Everyone's kind of running in that type of thing. And then defensively, you're not seeing as much. You see a lot. You see some spread, but you don't see as much variety. And, you know, so it's kind of hit me when I was sitting there watching the game and thinking about what's going on, that defensive guys, for the most part, have a lot more development that needs to happen. You know, on offense, you can kind of put a guy into a scheme, let him run plays, do all those types of things. You know, kind of, you know, you run out 10 yards, you run an out route. You know, it's kind of more assignment football in on offense. In defense, you have to be able to react to things. You have to be able to understand concepts and make quick decisions fast. And it's just guys are a little bit more apt to have that. They're a little more prepared to play offense at a young age and be able to have a lot of success doing it than you are defensively, where, you know, it's more reactionary. It's more applying your keys. It's more reacting to what the other team is doing rather than just more playing a little bit more assignment football. And don't get me wrong, there takes some instincts to be able to play offense too, and even special teams. But that growth curve is a little bit higher on the defensive side of the football. And I think I don't know that at times the way high school football's kind of turned it. And even though, yeah, you're seeing a lot of spread in college, you're going to see a little bit more variety defensively, and just the way it is. So it's that growth curve is a little bit higher. I think that's one of the reasons why you're seeing a lot more offense out there.
You talked about needing to see a killer instinct out of your defense after South Dakota State. Obviously, it's hard to assess in just practice, but you see, but you know, by any means.
I've seen our sense of urgency go up in how we practice, in how we execute in practice, and how we are in the details, and how we compete play to play, and how we compete against the scouts, you know, and having, you know, having that sense of pride in doing your job every single play and how you do it. And, you know, sometimes you got to get hit in the mouth to take notice, and in a number of different ways. And I'm not talking about score or yards or anything else. I'm just talking about being able to have success, and, you know, each guy and that understanding of that level of commitment you have to have when you walk on the practice field to give yourself the best opportunity to play good on Saturday.
A couple weeks ago you talked about guys having more fun playing football. How have you seen that?
Yeah, fun was success. And but with competing and having by competing, having success by to me, you know, I had this conversation with a couple young defensive guys the other day, and I said, you know, that being able to put your eyes and having the confidence to believe what your keys are and have confidence in what those keys are and in what is being asked of you to do. I said that comes from preparation, from an understanding, from a focus, a discipline about doing what you're being asked to do. And if you're not prepared enough or you don't have that understanding, you don't compete in the meeting room like you need to, then what happens is you go out on that practice field and it can be miserable and it's not fun. Because then you're kind of guessing and you're going to experience a lot more failure than you are success. Success comes through preparation, because with preparation comes great confidence. And that's when you have fun. That's when the game slows down for you, and that's when you enjoy what you're doing. But when you go out there and you're not sure, and because you're looking at the wrong things, you're not trusting your preparation, then it's not fun. It'd be like anything. It'd be like going into your job it becomes funner the more success you have and the more confidence you have doing it, correct? But it's the same as a football player.
It can be as simple as like the offensive tackle step, right?
If it was really simple, everybody would be doing it, John. This goes back years and years and years. And that's why you practice. That's why, you can't, and just figure that it's something that happens through over time. It takes time. It takes discipline. It takes focus. It takes failure. It takes a lot of different things. And every single guy is at probably a little bit different level of development.
And that
isn't just defensively. That's offensively. That's special teams wise. That's football, and in my opinion, that's sports.
Because they never had to get it, it's because they're better than everybody all the time?
Absolutely. It's a lot different. The things you can do to have success in high school, it's a lot different game in college. I see Jeremiah back there in the back shaking his head. Yeah, it's different. There's a lot more, the more the competition goes up, the higher level you go to, the more detail becomes important.
Sometimes they accept that.
Some guys. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But as some guys, I think the key is every guy learns a little bit differently. I mean, that's a reality. Some guys some guys can learn by seeing it in picture. Some guys got to be through it. Every guy's a little bit different in what it takes for them to get it. And some guys have to see it and do it. And there's always that sense of, okay, I got it. But do you really got it? Are you trying to memorize it, or do you really understand what's being asked of you? Because, let's face it, the pictures change. Teams don't just line up and run two or three plays. I mean, you're going to see some different things week to week. And if you don't understand the why and you don't understand the concept, it's pretty hard to apply it. This isn't a game you can just memorize. Okay, I mean, there are some things that are a little bit easier than others, but there's a technique and a discipline that goes down to, I believe our system defensively is very logical, but it requires discipline. It requires everybody doing their job. It requires everybody fitting in a certain place, and really that's the same thing offensively. That's why it's a great team sport, because you need 11 guys doing their job on every down and doing it with an attitude. And that's where we're heading. That's what we're trying to progress towards.
Two major college coaches got fired this weekend. Earl Campbell came out and suggested Mack Brown be replaced. What do you think of this business?
You know what? It's a great business. I think you're challenged every day. I think that if you talk to, I knew there was one. I'm not familiar with the second one, but at UConn, I didn't know that. But I think it's a great business. It's one where I think if you ask coaches across the country, at least the way I look at it, that's the last furthest thing from my mind. I'm glad there weren't three. I'm glad I wasn't one of them. But I think you go out every day, and you coach your butt off and you try to do the best you can for your kids. If you're worried about getting fired, then you're concentrating on the wrong things. And you got to do whatever you can and enjoy what you're doing and try to do the best for the kids on your football team. And that's how I approach it. And because if you worry about other things, you control what you can control. And that's to making this football team and any football team the best you possibly can. And what's going to happen is going to happen, regardless. And I just believe if you do things the right way, and to me, what entails that is doing what you can for the kids in your program and doing the best you possibly can to make their experience, not only as a football player, but as a student athlete, period, and their experience in college. If you're doing that the right way, then I think things usually work out the best for you. Thanks, guys.
Bo Pelini's extended press conference. It's every Monday here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. Always taking care of their customers. They had a beautiful day yesterday. They were open on a Sunday. Hope everybody took advantage of that. If not, they're there for you Monday through Saturday with great extended hours more than most. New Rams, Silverados. You can save thousands of dollars on those trucks. How about $4,200 off of a Chrysler 200. You can see the Midway Auto Dealership folks on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Midway, it's a better way. Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. Jimmy and I will give you our thoughts on the press conference right after this.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
You're listening to Guy Talk, live from the Sport Clips Haircuts locker room. Caller, you're on the air.
My girlfriend beat me playing one-on-one.
Ooh, sounds like you need to hit up a Sport Clips for an awesome haircut experience and some quality man time.
I don't know. My girlfriend always takes me to her salon.
Nonsense. Be your own man and get a great haircut in a guy-friendly place from stylists who know what guys need.
You may be right.
Sure I'm right. Now grab your Y chromosome, get down to Sport Clips, and ask for the MVP. Sport Clips. It's good to be a guy.
Terry Bradshaw here. In football, you can't win without a strong team backing you up. Today, I'm talking to Kevin, a licensed plumber, about how the team over at Ferguson, the leader for plumbing, waterworks, and HVAC supplies, gives him a winning edge.
Ferguson makes it easy. I order my supplies online and pick them up at my local branch or have everything delivered.
Plus, your online orders earn points for cool stuff like electronics and event tickets.
Yeah, ordering online saves me time, too.
You heard the man. Go check out Pro Plus at Ferguson.
Doug and Daddy's Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you, wrapping up a Monday press conference day with Bo Pelini, brought to you in part by TNL Irrigation. Remember, the weather is always out of your control, but you can be in control and confident with the best value on a TNL irrigation system and save $5,200 on a quarter-mile pivot now. Get ready for 2014 and get the best water distribution for your crops during the long haul of any extended heat wave. Call TNL Irrigation or contact your local TNL dealer today, anywhere throughout the Tri-Cities, anywhere in the state of Nebraska. Available in 50 states nationwide, 60 countries worldwide. If you're not sure who that is, you can go online to TLIRR.com for more information. Get TNL's hydraulic technology that works and is easier on you for a lifetime. Jimmy, what'd you get out of the press conference today? I got Taylor Martinez. We're not sure. I'm guessing we won't be sure until Friday. He says, I think our team can beat anyone in the Big Ten. Also knows that probably most of the teams can beat Nebraska. Quickly dismissed the Zach Zenner question, only rushing for 4 yards against South Dakota State. And then talked about the growing pains, specifically with the younger players on defense.
You know, I guess I was surprised by when they asked the question about the defense, when they said, is this something that you're surprised about that how we're playing? No, we're young, and I knew this was going to happen, and this is what I expected. I think the Nebraska fans expected Bo Pelini to have good defenses every year. I think that's the expectation. I think that's what people are upset about when they're upset about Nebraska football. It's they thought, hey, you know, we'll fix this. This will be something that Bo can fix. And even, I mean, and what I'm trying to say is when you play Oregon, the average fan, and, you know, he says, I've been around this game a long time. So have a lot of our fans. They've been around this game a long time. When you play Oregon, you expect maybe your defense to look kind of bad because their offensive skills that they have might make you look pretty bad. Same thing with the Denver Broncos offense.
Yeah.
When your expectations there. But when North Dakota State shuts out South Dakota State, and we did not come close to that. In fact, they had 17 points in the first quarter and should have had 21. Is to me, that makes me think that, hey, my answer would have been this. Hey, immediately I'm going to figure out what North Dakota State's doing down there. I'm going to get some film on them, find out what they did. Maybe we can learn something. Because when if somebody else is doing something that stops somebody, immediately all the other coaches in the nation are going to go over there and go, I want to know what scheme they're using. And, here's the thing that upsets me a little bit is, okay, sometimes you jump into a five-man line, and the offensive line are sitting there, and they're going, okay, I know what to do in a five-man line. The right guard's got this guy. The right tackle's got guy. The right end's got this guy. The left guard does this. And just before the snap, you switch it to a four-man line. You do that. I mean, and that's what you're trying to do, and that's what he's talking about, these schemes about, hey, we need to learn our stuff, and we need to do this. But every once in a while, somebody's got to just play. I mean, if we're jumping around doing this, and hey, who said the linebacker can't go in there and blitz and knock somebody down, whether you're in a four or five man front or a six man front? And hey, if we're way better than the other team, then let's just line up and say, hey, we play a 5-3 monster or a six man here and load it up. And I'll tell you what, once you guys beat me on this, then I'll do some of these schemes and I'll switch around and do some of these blitzes. So I think that's what probably disappoints most people. Now, when I said this, I don't know if I'm talking for a lot of people when I make these comments, but I think that's the expectations. They thought this was going to get fixed. The penalties on defense that we're getting on defense, those things, that we've got to get those things fixed. We can't be jumping off sides on third down and four all the time.
Yeah,
you know, at a junior high football game when they do that, everybody screams, watch the ball, watch the ball. We got to make sure we don't do these. These are the things that we got to get
fixed. You mean like Marcus Ware, all pro for the Cowboys yesterday?
That's what I'm talking. But I think, you know, we're going to have some penalties if you play defensive back, nose-to-nose, man-to-man coverage, and you're 1 foot away from that guy. You're going to get called for holding. I can live with those because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get right in their face. And we're one-on-one coverage, and we're playing as tight as we can get. Now, if you play 5 yards off, hey, you might get beat all day long, but you're never going to get any penalties for defensive pass interference. So that's not going to work either. Yeah. So I understand that, but that kind of disappointed me a little bit that he didn't come in there and go, yeah, I was really – that really kind of is something urgency because we're in the Big Ten, and my job is to make sure we have good defensive football teams at the University of Nebraska.
That's great stuff, folks. Nebraska on the field at 11 a.m. the next 2 weeks, hosting Illinois this week, next week at Purdue, also set for 11 a.m. Tomorrow we'll talk with UNK and Hastings College coaches Daryl Morris and Tony Harper, both coming off losses. And for UNK, Bronson Marsh got knocked out of the Northwest Missouri State game. We'll see if he's able to go. Otherwise, it looks like they put in true freshman Luke McNitt as the backup, so I would assume that's where they would be looking. Hastings College did what they wanted to do. Coach Harper said they had to shut down their star receiver and quarterback, and they did that in the first half, but in the third quarter, 22 straight points, turned it around, and Dakota Wesleyan won it 28-19, and they'll take on Briarcliff this week. The Lopers are home against Lindenwood. Also, volleyball went well this weekend. Huskers, Broncos, Lopers all won all of their matches. The new polls will be coming out later on this afternoon. They opened Pinnacle Bank Arena with a scrimmage. Over 7,500 fans were there. So that's going on. And the Tri-City Storm won their opener 2-1 in a shootout over Lincoln, their home Friday and on the road on Saturday. We want to thank all of you that have joined us on today's show. Give us your concerns, mostly on Husker football. Tomorrow, Damon Day is our co-host. We'll talk with Daryl Moore, UNK football coach Tony Harper, Hastings college football coach, and Hastings high volleyball coach Dave Heppner is going to join us. They've been in the top 10, had a strong tournament this weekend, and we'll talk about Hastings high volleyball Troutman's Tuesday trivia as well. And don't forget, our Husker lunch is back this Wednesday at Cunningham's. Sean Callahan will be there. He'll have copies of his brand new book with him as well. So Jimmy, see you Friday, man.
Yeah, Doug, we'll have baseball talk a little bit on Friday, who's alive, and we'll talk Husker football and see what's going on. Hey, thanks, Doug.
We'll see you, folks, on the Doug and Daddy Show.